Friends, you are the source of all blessing. And so these gifts we return to you with thanksgiving and joy because we love you and we want to thank you. And so that we ask that you would bless the gifts. And Father, I would ask that you would bless the givers. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Like a moment, the years go by, like the dew on August mornings. We are warmed by the brightening sky, and our souls long to be one with you. Someday soon, you will come and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon. Like your wind in the whispering pines, like your eagle soaring o'er us, we are born by some wondrous sign, and our souls long all the more for you. Someday soon, you will come and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon. Like the spring after winter snow, like the seedling's hint of harvest, we are drawn by the hope that grows from our longing to be home with you. Someday soon, you will come and we will see your glory. Till that day, may our hearts burn bright with the hope of one day, someday soon.
Let us stand and sing the doxology. And I think I got it right this time. With the amen, one thing that got programmed right today.
You may be seated. Let us pray together. Father, as we remember yesterday, this summer, and for the last year and a half, we lift up to you Roger and his family, Bernie and her family, including Terry and Chris, Kate and Zach and Thea. We lift up to you Brian and Julie and their family, and of course Sid and his family. We also want to remember Linda and Steve and Ed and Brad. Our Father, we thank you for brothers and sisters that have blessed our lives through the years. And so we bring them and their families to you in prayer. We praise you because you are their God and Father, and it's just been a delight to hear the testimonies of how you have ministered to people over this last season and have enlivened people in you through the lives of others who have gone on to be with you. Father, you are the Father of compassion and God of all mercies. And so we ask that you would minister to your people compassion and mercy so that they can be filled up and be able to share that compassion and mercy with others in the days ahead. Father, in particular, also, we would remember all of our brothers and sisters across the Iron Range of northeastern Minnesota. This is truly your church in this area. We are not individual, though we tend to be individualistic. Your church is your people. And so we pray for all of our brothers and sisters across the range and ask that you give them and us wisdom and revelation so that we all may know you better. Open the eyes of our heart so that we might be enlightened and be able to truly know the hope that you have called us to, and to know the riches of all the glory that you have poured out on us on the Iron Range in your inheritance in us, your saints. I look forward next Sunday to see evidence of your people honoring you in truth of the gospel, in truth of who you are, and in truth to the Iron Range of northeastern Minnesota. Father, as we begin to go into the fall season, which includes an election coming up, we would pray for our government leaders, according to your word, the words that Paul gave to us. Bring us quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and holiness under their service. Work through people to continue your work, not just in the United States, but also all around the world, because your project is your people and acquiring people into your family, into your kingdom. We want to be a part of your work. For all of this, Father, and for the day that you have given to us, we rejoice and are glad, for this is the day that you have made. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who's made it possible for us to be King's kids on a mission for you. In his name, the name of Jesus, amen.
Today we're truly going with the hymn machine. And so we're going to sing 614 instead of 318, because that's how it got programmed. Christ, you call us all to service. 614.
Jeffrey. Well, it's great to have visitors among us today. Jay, good to see you again. And we welcome Bill. He got his car fixed, so now he's got wheels again. And he can get around. At the same time, we've got some folks who are going to be going back to Arizona, right? Okay. Very soon. And during coffee time, we should be able to celebrate all of that, right? I won't be able to stay very long. I've got kind of a mini mission to Biwabic Covenant that I got to head over to, but you certainly can take the time and fellowship together and enjoy each other and bless each other. I think there was something else, but I think I forgot it. Okay, a few minutes today, a very detailed, complex matter that I'm just going to introduce. But first of all, a little introduction. What my plan has been over this summer is to help us go back to the very basics and really plant our footings firm. And you might have gotten a little annoyed at my repetitiveness. The Word of God, the words of God, who God is, who Jesus, the Son of God is, the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, things that are just so critical to moving on. I do believe we are in the last days, and I believe that the body of Christ doesn't realize what desperate times we are actually living in. We kind of just carry it over from the last few years and just kind of think that it's going to go on. But if we are indeed in the last days, this is the most dangerous time for believers in all of history, the most dangerous time for the Church of Jesus Christ in all of history. The words that you probably remember, those times so difficult that even if possible, the elect would be deceived. And you're probably like me. You are watching and just shaking your head or pulling out your hair at all the nonsense. I like to listen to Dr. Jeremiah in the morning when I can grab him, which is almost every morning, thank goodness, because of the timing. And he feels kind of the same way. It's just bizarre, some of the things that are happening around us. And I think most Christians, we look at them and we go, it isn't possible somebody's going to believe all of that. But obviously they do. I had a wonderful opportunity yesterday. I'm sure some of you watch TBN. And so I was watching TBN yesterday. And as I've told you before, I'm kind of an amateur scientist. I love science. And I have just kept my eye on science my whole life. Well, I was blessed yesterday for a TBN broadcast for an author who is putting out a new book with science. The most recent science in the last 60 years, which absolutely disproves Darwinism, absolutely disproves the secular theory of the formation of the universe, and absolutely disproves that our mind, our consciousness, came to us by evolution or osmosis or whatever the case may be. And I'm going to get that book, and I already have on my list two people that I'm going to send that book to. I have always believed that and have watched science continue to disprove their own theories. And so it's a joy to be able to have it in one compact volume. And you may not believe that. That's up to you. But it illustrates to me that God's smarter than everybody and smarter than groups of people, committees. This evidence was presented to a convocation, conference, whatever you want to call it, of scientists who are theists and scientists who were atheists and agnostics. And these two groups, in scholarly discussion and debate, reviewed all this work. And at the end of the discussion, get that out, the spokesman for the atheists and the agnostics' response was, "We don't have an answer to the most recent findings in science. And it seems like your explanation is the most logical explanation." And I'm just glad I believe in God. He's got it. Well, today, the topic that we're going to be talking about is the gifts and calling of God. And like I say, it's just going to be a quick overview. There are three passages in the New Testament that I'll refer you to that you can read later. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to read later. So let me start with an introduction from history. God's plan for Israel. God's plan for Israel was a theocracy. Part of his method was to give gifts to people so that they would serve the people of Israel in this theocracy. And you may not have thought of it this way, but God's idea was to have a group of people that would be so blessed and so obedient and so gifted that it would be an example to all the rest of the world. This God of Israel, Jehovah, is the true God. Oops, they didn't do so good, did they? God's idea was to have this family of people, Israel, the 12 tribes, as you know, this family. God's idea was to have this family where they would so help each other that they would be safe to the end, into eternity, glorifying God, serving each other, and, of course, serving their community. Well, that kind of all fell apart, as you know. This is side by side with the redemption of Jesus, who had to come and pay the price, whether Israel did what they were supposed to do or didn't. Jesus still had to pay the price for all sin. So here we are, after Jesus. What's God's plan for the church? I submit to you that his plan for the church is the same. Theocracy. Gifts to his people. A family that would support, care about each other, look out for each other. Safety till we get to heaven, making sure we are, each other are safe in the Lord, walking, supporting each other, not critical, not criticizing, supporting, encouraging, helping each other out, and of course, serving the greater community. You can think about that. That's what I believe. That's, I think, what God is doing. And he has two methods. in this plan. The first, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit, which is our working on our, some people call it our character, but it's really deeper than our character, changing us into the likeness of Jesus. You can find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, of course. And the second part is what I'd like to talk about today, and that is the gifts that God gives. You all will remember that the Word says that when Jesus died, he descended so that he could ascend. And in that process, it says that he gave gifts to men. Now, we are members in the body of Christ, and we have gifts. All of us have gifts. Three passages that you can review later, Ephesians 4, and if we get a moment, I might be able to refer to a couple of them. Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12. Those are the three packages of gifts. There are four things every one of those passages says about gifts. The first thing every one of those passages says is that everyone who becomes a Christian, when the Holy Spirit comes, brings at least one gift. Everybody gets a gift. Some people, more than one. And those gifts are different. I can't sing like that. Never could. I was going to say never will, but maybe in heaven I'll get a blessing to be able to sing like Jeffrey. Every one of us here has a gift or more of the Holy Spirit. I'll come back to that in a second. The second thing that every one of these passages says is that the gifts come from above. Now, it's interesting to me that in Ephesians 4, it says those gifts in Ephesians 4 come from Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says those gifts come from the Spirit. And in Romans 12, it says those gifts come from God the Father. Now, I have long believed and have used it in my prayer. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit aren't having trouble cooperating with each other. I think they're doing just fine. But it is interesting to me that it separates those three packages through three different administrations, is the word that I'll call it. We're not going to have time to look into that, but it's for your interest. The third thing all three of those passages say is that, and this, if there was going to be one thing that I would spend the next 45 minutes on, it's this. The gifts in those three passages are for the body of Christ. They're not for the community. They're not for our individual encouragement. God gives us gifts so that we can give those gifts to each other. Pause for a moment here. Think of Judy. Did she give a gift to us? I think of Stephen. He gave a gift to me from himself. God purpose of the gifts from Him, from His Spirit, are for the body of Christ. I think this is critical in the last days because we're going to need each other like we've never needed each other before. And I need to explain something. The body of Christ, or like your versions will say, for the church, is not just us. The body of Christ is out there. I just loved working at Target or Ace or something like that when I would have the opportunity to bump into somebody and talk to them about the Lord. Or sometimes I would start by asking, what church do you go to? Because when I found a believer, I could explode with my gifts of encouragement, of exhortation, of talking with them about things that they need. I still run into people that I've met through the years out in the community. I was over at Menards the other day and talking with a lady that I had worked with before. And instantly, there is this connection. I loved finding out who believers were. And I also enjoyed, and this is kind of like the dark side of Mike a little bit, I also enjoyed when I attempted to find out if they were a believer or not, how they reacted to my question. And sometimes I would get real defensiveness. Sometimes they just walk away. And then I'd connect with them again. I'm not going anywhere. So we need to talk about this, and I'm going to, whether you like to or not. And then through the years, if you minister to people in love and in truth, you find that people do connect. They don't get as offended as we think that they do. But the gifts of God that we're talking about in these three passages are for the body. Kathy and I have done gift seminars probably over a period of 20 years. I think we did one here. And what I remember most distinctly from those seminars is that after we're done, people don't care that they found out about their gifts. I am very interested in my gifts because then I know what I can do. On the other side, I'm very interested in what are not my gifts because I need to stay out of that area. Kathy and I just have worked out this incredible relationship where she knows my deficits, and I know her deficits. She knows my gifts, and I know her gifts. And it's almost like we can read each other's mind when an event happens, and I know this is her gift area. I just shut my mouth because I know I'm going to make a mess. And when she knows it's my gift area, guys all know this. She just looks at me. Hint, hint, hint. And we just go with it. And through the middle of it, as the ebb and flow of the conversation goes, all of a sudden I realize I'm stepping into an area that's not my gift. And I just shut up. And the person we are talking to may ask a question or something, and Kathy starts up. It's just been fun. I was going to say bizarre, but it actually has been really fun. I would encourage you to seek the Lord for your spiritual gift. Now, this is side by side with, we're an evangelical church. We're an evangelical denomination or fellowship. We are brothers and sisters with evangelicals. Yesterday we got a good evangelical gospel message, good Baptist message. We are evangelicals, and so we believe in proclaiming the good news to the world. Side by side with that, God's got this other thing going. I want to take care of my people. And so what he did is he assigned that duty to his son, the great shepherd. And he says to his son, I'm going to call people. Your job to keep them. We all believe Jesus is going to keep us through, right? Through everything, he is going to keep us through. If it depended on me, we're in big trouble. Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, is going to keep us through. So we got these two things going, the ministry to the world and the ministry to the body of Christ. Now, what are those gifts? Well, first we have natural talents. Mike's got his own personality. Some people get the gift of music, like Judy. Some people get the gift of math or engineering or accounting or mechanical or medical or caregiving. Natural talents that just seem to be a part of us. There's another group of talents or gifts called learned talents or gifts. You go to school, you get a degree, or you go to college where you learn a skill through training and education, and then there's the school of hard knocks that we call experience, and we learn things through our experiences. Learned skills are usually our vocation, our job. Spiritual gifts are different. Spiritual gifts come when we are born again and the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Now, we may not unpack the gift at that time, but the Holy Spirit brings with him spiritual gifts. And so I'd encourage you, look at those three passages. We're probably going to attack them in greater detail in the near future. But take a look at those. First suggestion that I have, when you look at those gifts, don't start looking for what you think you have. Start looking to eliminate what you don't have. It'll reduce the list to a manageable size, and then you can work from there. I'm sure I don't have this. I'm sure I don't have that. Get it down to a package that probably I have gifts in this group of four or five things. And then begin to ask God to direct you as to the gifts he's given to you. By the way, if you ask him, he will show you, because he's the one who gave the gifts. I mean, he knows what's going on here. Now, why is this so important? Well, a couple of reasons this is so important is that the body of Christ, we need you. And I say that for my brothers and sisters all across the range. We, the body of Christ, needs you. We need that gift. I've been in the Lord a long time. I've been in many different churches. I've been in Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches. We need the gifts, all of them. We don't need an hour of speaking in tongues, one gift, or 45 minutes of speaking in tongues with interpretation, two gifts. We need all the gifts to the body of Christ. I'm really looking forward to next Sunday. And bumping elbows, just like yesterday, I enjoyed it because I could sample the gifts that God has given to his people. I love the people of God, as you probably are aware. One other reason why it's important, Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable about three guys who get different, I'll call it bags of money, and they're supposed to invest it. You know the story. And at the end, the one guy who buried it in the ground, what happened? The master took that away from him and gave it to the guy who had produced the most, if you will. Something along those lines. So it's kind of a use it or lose it thing. It is critical for us when we get to heaven, if we want a reward, that we use something here and now to get that reward. But at the same time, the word says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Those gifts from God go out, and we can look at our entertainers, our great minds, people, that is, who have great minds, I guess, in science or whatever. We can look to great actors and actresses. At the judgment, this is Mike's version now, okay? I told you when it's Mike's version. This is Mike's version based on that parable. People who do not believe in God, who have gotten all these natural talents and gifts and stuff like that, at the judgment, God goes over and picks up that gift and deposits it in the life of a believer. This is Mike's version again. Every gift that has ever gone out, we will experience through the eternity that we are with God. You think this singer is great? You're going to hear that gift again. It just won't be that guy, unless he becomes a Christian, of course, and carries it with him. So all of this great stuff that God has sent out, God is not going to make any of those gifts empty. And so I think of Judy and Wayne. Excuse me. And think, they use their gifts. I wonder, when Judy's in heaven, what musical gift, whose musical gift she's going to get. I wonder, when we get to heaven, what great teacher and philosopher gift is Wayne going to have to share with us and minister to us because of faithfulness. Let's pray together. Father, you are just so incredibly beyond us in your goodness. We, your people, thank you that you've not only saved us, but you continue to bless us incredibly in this life through the ups and downs. You are the source with your Son, Jesus. With your Holy Spirit, we exalt you and honor you and choose to seek our place and ability to serve you on this planet. Guide us. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Let's turn to 318. Come, O Christ, to you. you're able, stand as we sing. 318. Come, O Christ, to you. Celebrate.